Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 167 of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today we have two segments for you. Kicking the show off, myself, Zach, Andy, and Mike do a little 3DS retrospective now that we are on the eve of the new 3DS. And after that, Nick and Curtis get together to talk all about Majora's Mask 3D. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this segment of Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson, and today I am with Andy Gergen.
What's up?
Mike Sklens.
The only time Nintendo allows voice chat is Connectivity.
And Zach Miller. Wait, what sound effect was that?
Sorry, that was wrong. At.
I still don't know what that is. It sounds familiar.
All right. What is it? It's from Mars Attacks.
Oh, okay.
Sounded like some Animal Crossing bullshit right there.
Yeah, right?
No, okay, sorry.
I was like, what game is that Yoshi from? this is kind of an old school crew as we were talking about. I don't think I've recorded with Andy here in probably 12 months at least. But I think he's got the podcasting bug now after the newscast segment last week.
I built myself a new PC, and part of that was like buying some better podcasting equipment. And so I'm just kind of like down to try it out. And like, so
sounds silky smooth.
I got a better mic, and now I have a pop filter. So that's good. And, I have been using like some old, like giant ass Logitech headphones, which was previously my headset, but it was also my headphones while I was like adjusting to this new mic. But like until I got like a better solution, you could very clearly hear everyone else's audio on my track.
That's always trouble, yeah.
Tonight, I think I actually might have the best audio of my my extended podcasting life.
Nice.
Because I've got earbuds, and I've got a pop filter, and I'm like an audio...
Well set.
I'm like the like quintessential audio amateur professional.
Yeah, I will say that editing the newscast segment last week, I thought your audio, was noticeably better than I had remembered it being.
Yes,
so it's working.
Now it's just my shitty voice. That's the only problem now.
Yeah. Now you just gotta get that voice box.
That's right.
Transplant.
Next Christmas.
So on this segment, the plan is to talk about the Nintendo 3DS, with the new 3DS launching in America in just, a week and a half now, I guess? What is it? The 13th it launches? Is that correct?
Yeah, we're like
just in time to ruin Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
We're nine days.
I swear
out.
I'm paying attention.
Yeah, 9 days. So we thought, you know what? Well, this would be kind of fun, a fun time to look back and remember sort of the launch of the 3DS and then those first couple of years. Cause I feel like now we can all pretty much agree the 3DS is a great system. Sales have slowed down, but that's going to happen as you just sort of hit that saturation point. But I think generally now everyone looks favorably at the Nintendo 3DS, but it was very much not the case, for a good stretch of time. That first year was very rocky.
Rough.
So yeah, no joke. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of look back and remember the 3DS and talk about just when that flipped for us, when each of us was like, okay, I'm into this Nintendo 3DS thing. Like I am sold. This is a good successor to the Nintendo DS, which was just wildly successful. So it'll be a trip down memory lane. So let's start with the launch. The system launched on March 27th, 2011 here in North America. Some notable launch games, if you want to call them that, were Pilot Wings, Steel Diver, Nintendogs, and Nintendogs and Cats.
Plus Cats.
Yeah, exactly. And Street Fighter 4. There were a few others, but to me those were kind of the most notable. And I forgot how expensive the system was at launch until I was looking today. $250. And it came with no games or anything, of course. Let's talk about that. Did you guys all pick one up right at launch?
I did.
I almost didn't. And then.
Yeah, almost didn't as well.
I was like real close to not because I was like, there's no good games. And then I found, my old PowerBook, my old Apple PowerBook, like sitting in like a, closet somewhere. And I was like, I should sell this to some struggling college student who just needs a laptop to get by. And I was like, I'll sell this for, I think it was like $150 or $200 because those old PowerBooks still held their value at least to get enough out of it. I think I actually might have sold it for exactly $250 because I just priced it at the price of a 3DS. I said, if I can just flip this PowerBook, I'll get a 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
I actually sold my last desktop PC to fund my new 3DS XL, so. So I guess we had that in common.
I'm selling my 3DS XL to fund my new 3DS XL.
Wait, how are you going to deal with the SD transfer?
I'm just selling it after I get the new one.
Oh, okay, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I will too. I would not have gotten a 3DS at launch if I didn't have like $150 in Best Buy gift cards saved up.
Something. Okay.
Just waiting.
May as well get this.
Yeah, why not?
I didn't get a game with it, so that was an error.
Oh, really?
Well, I didn't want any of the games.
Yeah.
I was planning on reviewing some games, but then I think Neil ended up just reviewing the entire damn launch lineup. I think he might have sent me a couple of games to try out, one of which I think might have been the infamous Cubic Ninja, now that I think about it. Was that a launch game? Feels like it was awfully close to launch.
I reviewed that shitty Splinter Cell 3 D-make.
Tactical game?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was a tactical game. No, this is Splinter Cell. It was a 3D. It was an actual Splinter Cell game. They're shitty.
Oh, okay. I just got Pilot Wings.
I eventually
got
that,
too.
That's the
one that I got as well. Yeah, I think that was the only game that I really got with my system. And even that was sort of like maybe after the fact.
It was several months away from
it. I don't think I actually ordered any games with the console. I think I was hoping for some review copies that never came. And I think maybe Gamefly? I'm not even sure, honestly, but I know that I got my system sort of last minute. Like, I got it from Amazon before the...
Yep, me too.
Before the great schism, before the great split between Amazon and Nintendo, I got my 3DS from Amazon, and I remember thinking it was pretty expensive at the time, but not... I didn't feel like it was outrageously expensive. I thought it was probably overpriced, but considering what it could do, I mean...
In theory.
It was the only device like it on the market. Like, the only device that had glasses-free 3D in, like, a consumer fashion, mass-market fashion.
Now we're getting a larger version with upgraded hardware, and it's $50 less.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the
it's
thing.
Also 5 years later.
Yeah. The tech has definitely
four
come
years
down
later,
in
sorry,
price.
4 years
yeah.
later.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if coming off of the DS, if it was just kind of a thought like, well, I think we can get away with this because of how popular the DS was, so people will naturally upgrade.
I think they wanted to price it out of the market a bit, too, because they didn't want to undercut DS sales.
Right.
They weren't sure if this thing would succeed.
Yeah.
In which the regular DS stayed on shelves, like, for years after the 3DS.
Yeah, well, the DSi
launched.
Was still, you know, out at that time.
Isn't the DSi still available?
I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't seen it lately. I remember, not long ago though, I saw it on the clearance aisle at Target for $99.
Okay. There you go.
They still sell DS games like at
True.
Target.
Yeah, they
you
do.
Can go,
yeah.
You can go to Target right now and still buy regular DS games.
I'm sure it helps that the systems are completely backwards compatible.
Yeah,
if the 3DS couldn't play DS games, I don't think that would be the case, but they still sell and you can still play them. So,
Kids need their shovelware.
Yeah, that's true for the most part. I know for me, I think I didn't get the 3DS like day of launch, but I definitely got it within probably the first few weeks of launch. That was probably a few months before I started actually like writing and podcasting Nintendo World Report. So, I still did like some writing, for like a much smaller site, but I really wasn't like, you know, now at this point, like, I feel like I'd have to pretty much get anything if I could afford it, right? Because we talk about so much, we write about so much, like,
yeah.
I want to be informed. But there really wasn't a requirement then. But I still ended up getting it, and the only game I got at launch was the Ghost Recon
And you liked that game,
strategy
didn't you?
Game.
That was the one I was thinking of.
The tactical game. I did actually really like that. I'd be interested to go back and play it now a few years later, but as far as, like, a launch game goes, I was really into it. And so I remember that whole summer was sort of spent, like, playing that game while watching episodes of, like, Doctor Who in the background, as that was also the summer I first really got into Doctor Who. So I kind of have some positive memories there. But the system did not do very well. To start off, there were not very many good games, if any really at all, for quite some time. I think Ocarina of Time, I've got it here, did eventually come out, like, at the end of June, it looks
like.
Yeah,
it was a summer game, and that was, like, the first real, I feel like that was the first real game for 3DS.
Yeah, I would say so. How have you guys felt about the, like, the 3D effect? At first, when I got the system, I was like, well, it's 3D, I have to keep it on, like, that's the whole
True.
Point. So
yeah, me too.
The first few months, I was very much, you know, had the 3D turned up the whole time. I think Ocarina of Time is what finally got me to turn it off, because I just, playing that game for long stretches of time. It started to hurt my eyes. I didn't really like it.
And it pretty easily started to, if you moved your arms even a little bit, it started to shift away, and that was terrible. Yeah. So.
I think I played most of Ocarina of Time in 3D. I think I've probably kept the 3D on more than anyone I know.
Okay.
And but now, I still use it occasionally. The game I really didn't use it at all with Smash Brothers. I turned it on just to see what it looked like. And then that's what I do for most games is I turn it on to see what it kind of looks like in 3D. And then most of the time I leave the 3D about 50%. Cause if you leave it around there, it's actually pretty tolerable even for decent stretches of time. But I feel like everyone else, like within like the first year,
play in 3D.
Do you really?
I still play. Like, I played most of the Codename Steam demo in 3D.
I played 2D. Yeah, I play 2D games in 3D.
I mean, it depends on like how I'm playing it. Because if I'm laying in bed, it doesn't work because it's not at the right angle. But if I'm playing on the couch, then I'm not. I think with Smash, pardon me. I think with Smash Brothers, more than any other game, I've been turning it off simply because that game is so frenetic, it can detract from the experience. But like Link Between Worlds, I played entirely in 3D.
Me too.
Ocarina of Time, I played entirely. I've played most of my games, most of my like single player campaign style gaming has been spent in 3D, except for when I'm like lying in bed. Like if it's comfortable to have it on, I have it on. I've never had an issue with like eye strain or anything at all.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Andy.
Well, I don't like is that like the gyro aiming in games like Star Fox and Zelda and I think maybe Resident Evil, I forget.
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, the gyro aiming is like one of the best features of the system, and it's basically completely broken if you use the 3D mode.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the new 3DS will take care of that, but considering that it takes a second to adjust when you move the system a little bit, I kind of think it probably won't.
Right. I agree. And actually, yeah, Zach, I'm with you. 2D games, I actually really like the 3D effect. Like, I did actually end up playing most of Shantae in 3D. Yeah. Cause I just loved how, like, vibrant it was and how much it popped.
Mighty Switch Force games do a good job too.
Yep. But yeah, anything 3D, I really just can't hang with it for long in 3D.
I always feel like if I turn the 3D off, then I'm like wasting the potential of the system.
I feel that way too.
Like this is not how it was designed to look. It was designed to have the effect on, so I should use it if it's there.
Yeah, but some games actually end up looking better with the 3D off because then you get like the anti-aliasing and stuff like that. Like it'll be smoother looking.
Yeah, the frame rate generally drops pretty precariously when it's
when it's never noticed a frame rate drop.
Oh, it's definitely noticeable in some games like in Dead or Alive, it's a very noticeable difference.
Well, there are some games that run in 30 frames per second in 3D and 60 frames per second in 2D.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I feel games look crisper in 3D. And then when you put it into 2D mode, they look fuzzier. One thing that I really don't like, though, is my launch day 3DS, the slider is kind of difficult to keep off. When you slide it all the way to the bottom, like the slightest bump of the system will like push it back up enough for it to turn back on.
Really? The XL solved that problem.
Yeah, there's a click.
Yeah, so it clicks into place. Yeah. It locks
launch,
in. Yeah,
launch day unit.
Bleh. Are you still using your launch day unit?
Yep, for nine more days.
Eight more days.
That's impressive.
Eight more days? Yeah, eight more days. Whatever.
Because we haven't really talked about that, but even the launch hardware was kind of the bad.
Shitty?
Especially by Nintendo standards.
I would say shitty.
I guess I was being generous, but I feel like Nintendo has pretty much a good history of making very durable and like high quality hardware.
Unit is still going strong, though. I gave it to Amanda. I bought an XL and just gave her the original one so she could just have a dedicated system to play like her games on as opposed to sharing like we used to do. And it still goes, so works fine.
To be fair, like it still works. I mean,
yeah,
it's not
no,
like it's broken. Although I have had it in repair once for like the L button, I think.
I had to send it in for those lines on the screen.
I didn't get that. I got lucky.
I got it hardcore.
I sent it in for the lines on the screen once, but then like a dumbass didn't put anything on the screen to prevent it from happening
again. Because you shouldn't have to.
Shouldn't have. Well, I figured when I sent it in and got it back, they would have replaced like the spacers or whatever it is that causes that to touch. Like, I'm assuming, Mike, since you don't have that problem, it's because the spacers on your system are better, like thicker.
I guess. That, I don't know. It's keeps, a launch unit, so.
Yeah, I don't know. But I hate the fact, like, whenever I look at my launch unit and I see those stupid little vertical lines on each side of the top screen, mm-hmm. it just makes me so stupidly angry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. me too.
I mean, it's terrible. It's one thing if you like drop it and scratch the screen. It's like, oh, well, that's on me. But you shouldn't, I mean, you shouldn't have damaged your screen from closing the system.
It's
like,
a design
the way it's
flaw.
Supposed to be closed.
It's just a really bad design yeah. flaw. And it's,
and there's more than that. Like you said, the L button was notoriously bad. So many people yeah. had that like go out. And then, even like the hinge is really bad.
Oh yeah.
Loose
a
and, like, the top
my
screen.
Hinge is wobbly.
My, do you guys still use your charging cradle? Well, I guess you
we don't get them on
you
the 3DS
stop
XL.
Using your... Yeah, so
I got the Club Nintendo charging cradle for the 3DS XL. I got that shit right away, and I love it.
I love the cradle though. Yeah, if I had an XL one, I would totally still use it.
If they put one out for the new 3DS, I'll buy it.
I'm not sure what happened, but I tried to like get mine out of storage and like set it on my end table and charge it with the cradle, and like I would notice the little orange light flicker whenever it was sitting in the charging cradle. It's like it wasn't being consistently powered.
Like a loose connection. Yeah.
I tried cleaning it out and it didn't really help, so my cradle is effectively useless.
Man, that thing just needs to go out to pasture, huh?
Yeah. Stupid launch hardware.
Well, it's not the first, you know, handheld they've released a beta for. They did the same thing with the DS yeah. and arguably the GBA.
With the DS, though, I upgraded to the Lite
didn't.
Because
good Lord.
It was
you needed to.
There was no reason not to, but with the XL, there was a reason not to. If you didn't want the bigger size,
true.
You waited, and you waited because you knew eventually they were going to release a 3DS Lite of some kind, and they did not.
I would say though that in the case of the DS, as ugly as that original DS was, it was still functional. Like I don't remember ever having any of the issues that like the launch 3DS
yeah,
had.
Yeah, that's true.
In terms of
hideous.
Just falling apart. I mean,
the
that
only
fucking,
real issue
that
with
fucking
the,
thing was a tank that would never fall. That would survive only, a bomb blast.
The only real issue with the launch 3D with the launch DS was that you couldn't play it in the car because the screens weren't bright enough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not a durability problem.
The buttons
problem.
And the D-pad were kind of they didn't really stand the test yeah. of time.
Isn't it amazing to look at that original DS and just think how ugly that thing was and what it eventually became?
And then the DS Lite, like the DS Lite is basically the blueprint for every DS forward.
Yeah.
But
that thing, yeah, yeah.
So ugly.
The DS Lite is like just gorgeous and that mm-hmm. original DS is just atrocious. But yeah,
I don't
and then,
feel
and
like
then
they've ever made a handheld as nice looking as the DS Lite.
I like the DSi. DSi
I would say
is a
the
nice
new,
one.
The non-XL new 3DS. Is really nice looking.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the face place, but, you know, it's got like the Super Famicom yeah. coloring. And, like,
yeah,
it's just
I guess.
I think it's a nice, that's a nice piece of hardware.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even like you said, Zach, like the Game Boy Advance being like the beta for the SP. I mean, even in that case, though, at least it again was functional hardware. I mean, yeah, you couldn't see
yeah.
shit without a light, which sort of short-sighted at the time. But other than that, I like the,
but it's not
the
like it was,
GBA.
It's not like there was a light on the previous game. Well, I guess there was the Game Boy.
The Game Boy Pocket. Oh, regardless. Wait. No, Game Boy Pocket didn't have one. You're right.
There hadn't been
a
built-in, like, standard.
Yeah,
kinda,
like,
yeah.
There was one in Japan, I guess, but, like, not here, so.
Right, right. Yeah.
So it wasn't, like, a feature that was removed, like, the ability to close your system without being damaged.
Yeah.
Which was a feature they removed for 3DS.
I like that we call that a feature. Like, that should not be a feature, but yeah I guess in this case.
Also, for a while there, my A button stopped becoming responsive. I noticed that when I was playing Virtual Console games, when I was playing like Mega Man, I had to like jam on that button for it to work properly. And so for like 4 months or so, I basically didn't touch my 3DS at all because I just knew it would bug
me. It had to heal. It had to have time to heal.
I got the Smash Brothers demo is I think what fixed it was I just beat the hell out of my 3DS playing Smash Brothers and it like... Must have dislodged some piece of dust or something, and like,
or now all sense. The buttons are equally unresponsive.
Yeah,
maybe. So now you just can't tell the difference.
I really thought that was the end of my 3DS playing at that point. I didn't figure there was any chance that would come back, and it did.
So July 28th, 2011, that is when the news dropped that the Nintendo DS would get a price drop. It would be $169. So that is what a
70.
What is that? 90, $80 drop. So that's within the first 6 months of launch. Which
we did an emergency newscast for that.
Yeah, I remember that.
We did, yeah, because that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And they also announced at the same time that there would be the ambassador program. So if you had bought a DS, or I think you still had another like 2 week span. I don't think the price drop was like day that they announced it. I think you had 2 weeks where you could still pick up a DS for the original price and get the ambassador program. So then we got access to a bunch of Game Boy
games.
But
I don't think
games,
they'd announced the games yet.
They had not.
I think, yeah, you're right.
They had announced 10 free games.
No, they just
said
we'll give you games, yeah.
Yeah.
10 free NES games, 10 free Game Boy Advance games to be named at a later date.
So that was all announced, July 28th, 2011. Pretty wild, I would say.
Yeah, this was like one of the best like mea culpas Nintendo's ever had.
Well, it created the expectation they'd do it again for Wii U.
Yeah, it kind of did,
right?
Didn't it?
Yeah, everyone kept saying, "When are they going to ambassador the Wii U?" And they never did.
I didn't think they would ever do that.
I mean, well, I didn't it was either, a, it was but, you know,
the idea was out there though, don't you think?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I think so, but they've never like made a like they clearly knew going in this is going to piss a lot of people off. Like maybe they saw what happened to the iPhone. Like I bought the original iPhone for $600 and like 4 months later they knocked $200 off the price.
Wow.
And they caught a shitload of flack for it, and then Apple like had to be like, "Oh shit, everyone who bought it for $600 gets a $100 Apple gift card." Yeah. And I was like, "All right, thanks. I, you know, now I've only paid $100 extra. Great. I bought some incredible headphones. I was very happy." and I feel like Nintendo saw that this is going to be a similar situation. We just took a $250 product and knocked $80 off of it.
Yeah.
People who bought this thing less than a year ago are going to be furious, and they saw it going in and were like, "We need to make sure we get out ahead of this." And they've never done anything like that. Like, since like when the eShop
was
like,
pretty incredible.
When the
program.
eShop was inaccessible for like, 2.5 weeks after Christmas that one year, they didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Oh God, I remember that.
Yeah. So a pretty wild, wild program, and something I don't think we would ever see again. I mean, even now, I feel like sudden price drops are even just kind of common at this point. I mean, look at the Xbox One, which this Christmas dropped the price,
and then raised
the price back up after Christmas, and then we're like, "Oh, we're sorry, we'll just keep the price low again." So I just feel like it's not as uncommon.
Microsoft hasn't been able to commit to a decision regarding that system for more than a week.
No.
That's true.
Nintendo's never really had that tendency. Microsoft had that tendency.
No, Nintendo has the opposite tendency of sticking to their guns for far too long.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know which problem's worse. but yeah, I loved the ambassador program, and I loved getting all those GBA games, and I guess to a lesser extent the Nintendo games, but to me it was like all about the GBA stuff. And it was like, "Oh wow, like soon we'll have the GBA Virtual Console on the 3DS and we'll have all kinds of great, GBA games to play." And then that never really came to fruition.
Can you guys clarify something for me about the GBA games on the 3DS?
Yeah.
So on the bottom screen, it says when you close the system, it does not put the hardware into sleep mode.
Right.
And I always believe that to be true because it said it on the system, and I usually play with the sound off, so you don't really notice if it's working or not. But then I heard something on, I think maybe RFN recently, where they indicated that it does in fact do it. And so I tried it earlier today with Metroid Fusion. I loaded it up and then I put it into sleep mode with the sound on, and I could hear the sound turn off when I closed the lid. So
I
what
think
do you
Metroid
think?
Fusion it... actually has a sleep mode though.
Where... Okay.
But it so, does, but you have to enter it.
Pressing
by, like,
L and R, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't just turn off.
Like, the ability to not just close my 3DS on a whim when I'm done playing a game is what basically kept me from ever really putting any time into those GBA games.
Me too. Same.
Yeah, if it actually worked, then I would probably go back and revisit some of those games.
Yeah, I think the sound still cuts out, because I think at a hardware level, the system, like, stops the sound, but I do think the game keeps running. It doesn't actually stop. And the reason for that being, and the reason probably we never got Game Boy Advance games on the 3DS in a virtual console fashion, is they aren't like, they're kind of in like a separate almost emulator where
I think they got around it by booting the system into DS mode.
And then DS mode
can run Game Boy games.
Exactly.
Right. They didn't actually run it in 3DS mode, so it couldn't use any of the hardware level features on the 3DS, which is why you couldn't like pause out to the menu, and go to the internet browser.
Right, or Street Pass or anything.
Street Pass or anything, yeah. Because
it
was
looks
just...
and feels like a DS game.
Yeah. Right. As far as the system knows, it's in DS mode. Kind of like how when the Wii U, when you play Punch-Out, it's actually just booting itself into Wii mode and just taking you right into Punch-Out. It's not
it's
skipping the menu.
It's the SD card channel solution all over again.
Pretty much,
kind of.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's the same thing they're doing with Wii U. Yeah, it's like, it's emulating an older platform within the platform that you're playing on, so you lose all of that platform's functionality.
It's emulating a system that is backwards compatible.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, but that's the reason why we never got actual, like, GBA games on Virtual Console, because they never, I don't know if they could never get it working,
well,
or
maybe
if they just didn't want to bother.
I could swear that I remember them saying at some point they were going to bring the Virtual Console functionality to the GBA games.
They did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they will, maybe the new 3DS will be able to run GBA Virtual Console with the added hardware power.
It just seems like it shouldn't be that difficult to run GBA games.
Well, I know a PSP can run a GBA emulator no problem. So PSP can do a fucking
new
3DS.
What?
Hey now. So yeah, the Ambassador program I thought was really great. I don't know if it moved systems in that 2-week span before they dropped the price and, or not, but I know certainly afterwards, I think the price drop definitely helped. And then we started to get, like, good games released, which was nice. We had Star Fox 64, like, at the end of the summer. And then, which, you know, here or there, I think the problem, too, with the 3DS is you didn't have a good launch lineup of first-party titles, and then the next few you did get, while good games, were all just, like, re-releases of N64 games. I don't know that that's really all that exciting.
And
I bought
them both.
Yep, I did too.
Just to have something to play.
Exactly. But by the end of 2011, we got two games. I would say one is good and one is, I mean, pretty much phenomenal. We had Mario Kart 7 and Super Mario 3D Land released like within a week of each other, in November and December. And that was huge.
Yeah.
Mario Kart, it's a weird game for me. Like, it was probably the first Mario Kart game, because I have them all. It was the first Mario Kart game I played, beat, and immediately never touched again. Like,
really?
Even though it had online play, I played around with that, but there were some connection issues initially, and I was like,
Mario Kart 7 was effectively the third game in the Mario Kart Wii blueprint. Wait, no.
Yes, second.
The Mario Kart DS blueprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mario Kart DS was the first game post Double Dash.
True.
And it was basically, it established a formula that we've never deviated from ever since. And by the time we got to Mario Kart 7, it was like, well, I've really already kind of done this
on Wii,
multiple times before.
And the big thing about that game was I played it a lot when it came out, and then I got really heavy into online mode. Like, I would play the online mode a lot. Like, same with I did with Mario Kart DS, and then just like Mario Kart DS, a bunch of assholes figured out how to exploit it and made it no fun.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that now.
What was the exploit in 7? Because I know DS it was snaking.
There were some shortcuts.
There were some absurd shortcuts, but the thing is people, you get to vote for the track you race on, so people would always vote for the tracks.
But they patched that though.
But by then the damage had been done.
By that time I was just done with the game by the time they fixed it.
Yeah, see, for me, I skipped Mario Kart Wii, and then, when I got Mario Kart 7, it was kind of exciting for me again. I think, I almost wonder if that's, like, how Mario Kart is going to have to be now. Like, just kind of play every other entry, otherwise you do just kind of burn out, you know, unless they make some substantial change. But
well, there was enough time between 7 and 8, and 8 has, I mean, 8 is just blissful.
If nothing else, because of, like, just the presentation of it all. Super Mario 3D Land, that's the shit.
That is, I think, to this day, I think it's my favorite Mario game.
Oh, wow.
It's very close for me. It's either that or Galaxy 1.
Galaxy 1
Mario 3D Land is, to me, like Kirby Canvas Curse was to the DS, which is to say, it's the first game that I could not put down once I picked it up on that hardware.
I think it was It was the first game on the 3DS for me, Andy, that showed why the 3DS was necessary.
And the 3D effect.
Sure. And the 3D effect, like the reason for the system to exist.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I played that whole game in 3D.
It's one of the few games that still makes, it's one of the very few games out there that still makes the 3D into a gameplay mechanic.
Yeah.
There are, like, bonus rooms in that game that you really can't play with a 3D off.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, it's probably one of the only games that's really, like, utilized the 3D in that way. Every other game, it's just sort of, like, optional, I guess, because they don't want to, you know, have people not be able to play certain parts of the game.
6-year-olds aren't allowed to use.
Right, exactly.
Did you guys ever get through that very, very last stage that you got to unlock by
I did.
Everything?
Mm-hmm. I got about that... I got halfway through like the second, I guess they call it the second quest or whatever. After you beat the game, you get like a whole another set of levels.
Right.
I got about halfway through that.
So like once you beat all of those levels, then you have to go through and get like the flagpole on
every level.
The top top of the flagpole on every level with both Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
And you have to get all of the star coins. And once you do all of that, you unlock one final stage and it was beating that stage was one of the like my proudest accomplishments as a gamer. Like it took forever. It took hours, but I did eventually finish that. It's probably the only Mario game I've ever really truly 100%ed.
Nice. That game is what I love about that game is that like you can go through it and you can quote unquote beat it, and I think most people with enough time could beat that game, and by beat I mean like they beat the first 8 worlds. So I beat it and I was like, well, this is good, but it was like, I don't know, I thought it was a little too easy. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, JK, you're literally only halfway there.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I was like, here's where the game really starts for someone like me.
And you know, honestly, that's how the Mario games have been. Like the past few, even the new Super Mario Bros. Games, they're very much like that, where it's easy to get through the core game, but then there's so much extra stuff to do that requires like sort of
it's
just
brutally
a
difficult
attitude. Yeah.
It's just oh my god.
I mean, Jesus Christ, like, to get everything in New Super Mario, in Super Mario 3D World, I mean, you have to get, the top of the flagpole, all the star coins, and then if you want every stamp, you have to beat every level with every character, keeping in mind that there's actually a total of 5 characters in that game when you unlock Rosalina. Yeah. So, I mean, like, that shit is wild. But yeah, no, Super Mario 3D Land is fantastic. To me, it felt like the combination of like 2D Mario with Super Mario 64. Like it just felt perfect.
I like how bite-sized the levels are.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it was
the
very
perfect,
tiny.
It's the perfect handheld Mario, honestly.
I was just going to say, I really didn't know where they would go after Galaxy, because Galaxy felt like sort of the culmination of the 3D Mario experience, but Mario 3D Land and then eventually Mario 3D World very much proved that like there's still a lot that you can do with 3D Mario
with
gravity and stuff.
I really like what they've done with the 3D Mario World Land whatever series, because they've taken everything they learned from 3D Mario games and they took it all and they just applied it to 2D Mario games. Like the level structure, like in 3D Mario games, you're presented with these gigantic worlds where you could do like any one of 12 things to get the different stars. But in old school Mario games, like before Mario 64, you go to a level, you get through the level, and you go to the next level, and you go through the next level, you go to the next level, and then you fight a boss. Like that's exactly what they did. They just made those levels 3D, and I think it frees them in this way where oh, this level can be all about waterfalls, and this level can be outer space absurd platforming, and then this level can be, you know, you're riding a dinosaur, and then, like, every single level is so incredibly different just from one to the next, and I think that is a huge thing that I think that's what makes me like 3D Land and 3D World. I think they're probably tied for favorite Mario game now.
Yeah, I agree. Like, they're very much, each level is built around an idea rather than having a level that's like 90% each time you play it, you're retreading the same areas, and then there's like 10%, depending on the star you're getting, that's different from what you did before, which is kind of like, oh, the star is now over here and you couldn't get it before. Like, I really enjoy it. I think it did free them to create just sort of like wild, imaginative levels.
It lets
them
really focus. Like, this level is about this one thing. It doesn't need to be jack of all trades. It can be just this one incredible concept. And then just throw it away. Go to the next one.
Yeah.
We did that. And here's maybe 5 worlds later, here's a harder version of that same concept.
Yeah, that game is fantastic. So let's talk a little bit, though, because that kind of sums up the first year or so, I guess 9 months technically, but whatever, of the Nintendo 3DS. When did each of you really come around to the system? Like, when did it go from, oh, like, I, you know, this is fine, to, wow, this is a fantastic handheld? Like, what point was that?
Oh, 3D Land, for sure.
Me too.
Oh, that early, huh?
It was Mario 3D Land for me.
Oh, geez, well.
Now, keep in mind that prior to 3D Land, like, my favorite game was Code of Princess.
Okay, yeah.
Which did not require the 3D, and as far as I was concerned, until that point, the 3DS was kind of like, well, it's the DS2.
Yeah.
I used it to play DS games, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I'm racking my brain trying to figure out what came out in 2012 for the system, now that you say all that.
Well, here, let me, I've got the list here. I can kind of go down and give you some ideas.
Well, the eShop came about, not long after the Ambassador Program, or before, because the Ambassador Program, of course, required the eShop.
Right, Link's Awakening was the first, like, eShop, like virtual
right,
console
yes,
game. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'd never played Link's Awakening, so I actually played it
oh,
on my 3DS.
God. I would.
I loved it.
I would love to be able to experience that game for the first
time.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
I've never finished a terrible
person. Dude.
Yeah, see, 2012 doesn't look great. See, for me, well, here, let's go through.
Kid Icarus is the biggest game of 2012, I think.
What was it?
Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh, yeah, that was right. That was March 29th. Mario Tennis Open. Theater Rhythm, which was very good.
Theater Rhythm was really good.
Awesome.
I fell in hard to that game, and I don't even like Final Fantasy.
We had New Super Mario Bros. 2, which launched at the same time as the XL.
Paper Mario Sticker Star was out that year.
Yeah, August of 2012.
Yeah, 2012 was not a very good year for this system.
See, for me, what really, and I shouldn't say turnaround because I was enjoying my 3DS, but when I am going to look back and remember, like, what was my favorite time span for the 3DS, it's going to be, like, early 2013. We had games, Fire Emblem Awakening. I mean, that's probably my favorite game on the system. I love that game so much. Not only just because it was fun to play on the 3DS, but it's just a great, like, push forward for that franchise. It's so great. But then also at that time, you had Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon.
Paper Mario.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, played the Wii game, so that game, I really liked it.
Etrian Odyssey 4, which I know, you can kind of get into. I enjoyed it.
Animal Crossing too, right?
Animal Crossing
around the same time,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
That came out in June. Those other games were kind of like March and April. So like you have that stretch there where it was like every month you were getting a fantastic 3DS game.
Oh, you know what though? I reviewed Animal Crossing, so I had it like a good month ahead of time.
So why you're thinking.
I'm thinking of it
April,
as an early
yeah.
release because I remember the time that I played it very clearly because it was when I spent a lot of time in the hospital for my father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
That reminds me a lot of that was like a very momentous like couple of months in my life. Like I made a lot of like life decisions and had a lot of life experiences in like the same month. And I played Animal Crossing throughout the entire thing, so like that game really meant a lot to me at that time. So for me it was like an April release.
Yeah,
Scott, I think you're right that 2013 is overall probably far and away the best year for the 3DS.
Yeah, like to me, like again, like that when I'm gonna look back in the 3DS, that's what I'm gonna remember. Even we had Shin Megami Tensei 4 came out, that was a little bit later in the year, but still, like that was just, it was just a good stretch of releases.
Yeah, it's something when Mario and Luigi Dream Team is one of like the lesser titles of the
right.
year.
Exactly, yeah. And then capping off the year, you had Pokemon X and Y.
Yeah, and then Link Between Worlds.
Right.
Yep, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is a huge year. Like, they got Pokemon and Zelda out in the same year.
Yep.
Honestly, I think Link Between Worlds and Mario 3D Land are the best two games in the system. Like, I think those two games
pretty much agree with that.
I think those two games are, like, the essentials for the entire handheld, and I wouldn't see that changing before the next thing comes out.
Yeah. Unless it's a Metroid game.
Well.
Oh, God. Yes, yes please.
Couldn't happen,
so
I
yeah, so
I really love Luigi's Mansion.
I didn't play it.
I played about halfway through it, and I put it down, and I was like, I moved on to something else, and now I'm thinking, I really liked the 3D effect in that game a lot, and I'm looking forward to the new 3DS because I'm gonna finish Luigi's Mansion on that thing.
Yeah, and that'll be our next topic. But just to kind of recap 2013, there, I think what's most exciting or what's most memorable for me is it really captured the spirit of the DS. I thought because in that time span, not only were these great games, but they were of all like different genres and varieties, which to me like totally captures what the DS was all about. I mean, it was such a great platform for like RPGs and puzzle games and quote unquote casual games, and then platformers and all kinds of stuff. And I felt like 2013 for the 3DS was that.
That was the year for the 3DS, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. The next little topic here before we wrap up.
Well, do we want to do 2014 real quick?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's in very recent memory, but I'm looking at this list of games that came out in 2014, and it's just like, it just drops off a cliff.
Yep.
Though this is the year where I feel like maybe the eShop finally really started coalescing and you started getting some really good indie games, like really top-notch indie games coming out on the 3DS.
So SteamWorld Dig in 2014, wasn't it?
Shovel Knight.
Oh,
like, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, SteamWorld
Dig sucks, so I don't know why anyone was saying SteamWorld Dig.
Retro City Rampage DX came out that year. That game is amazing.
The Mighty Switch Force games came out pretty early, though. Those are really good.
Yeah, those were some of the first, yeah. That, but as far as, like, main games, well, right at the... Well, actually, hold on. Let me
it's Smash Brothers last year. That was the big deal.
Yeah, Smash Brothers.
Yeah, definitely.
We got Bravely Default right at the start of the year. That that was a good one. But yeah, then other
Fantasy
than
Life.
That. Yeah, Fantasy Life.
Fantasy Life, yeah.
Tomodachi came out as well. And then we had like some misses. I mean, there was like Yoshi's New Island. That was not so
real
good.
Deal baseball.
When did Kirby Triple Deluxe come out? Was that 2014?
Yeah, 2014. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a good one. That was good.
Still haven't played that yet.
Let's see, what else? Yeah, see, there's not, Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's just, it drops off a cliff, really, in terms of Nintendo-published content, especially.
And then we had the Pokemon re-releases, you know, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, those came late in the year. Yeah, but that was kind of it.
It is weird, like, I was at that E3 when they were talking about Sticker Star and Animal Crossing had already come out, but I remember they were pushing it. They were pushing the 3DS. They were really putting a lot of teams on it. And then they got all those games out, and then they're like, all right, we're done.
Well, I feel like they've kind of had this issue where it rather than having like an equal attack on both platforms, every year seems to alternate between like, okay, this needs to be our big Wii U push because it's not doing well, and oh my god, the 3DS, like we need to really push the 3DS.
Yeah,
and
they seems need like about 50% more development teams.
Right,
yeah.
And so it seems like they're always like playing catch up on one of the platforms. Like 2013 was definitely the year of the 3DS, and this year seems much more the year of the Wii U, and you see that the other platform sort of doesn't get as much love when that's the case. So 2014 wasn't very good. 2015 looks like it'll be good because already we have Majora's Mask coming out, which is fantastic. But let's go ahead and talk about games that we're excited to sort of revisit on the new 3DS with the improved 3D and better processing power and everything that comes with it. Who wants to start?
Resident Evil Revelations.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Circle Pad Pro / C-Stick, this will be my first time playing on an XL, really, for more than a minute, for more than, like, a few minutes. So, like, I'm excited to go back and kind of revisit the visuals of that game on the higher quality screen. Maybe not higher quality,
right,
but the bigger screen.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go back. And I have it digitally. I think it was, like, $10 at some point, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was. I almost bought it even though I already had it on 3DS and in on the cart, and I already have it on Wii U. But I almost bought it again just to get rid of the card.
I have the Wii U version. I played it on 3DS initially, and then I bought the Wii U version. I need to.
Man, we should play that, Scott. We got to play raid mode.
I was just gonna say we need to do some raid mode. I think it's just like the 3DS version, right? Don't you have to play so much before you can unlock like each level of raid?
You have to unlock each level. You unlock each level in raid mode by playing it in the campaign.
Okay.
But I think you can get online with a friend. If you join their game, you can play any level.
Oh, do you have it all unlocked already?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, we should do that. That raid mode is really fantastic. Now, do we know games that supported the Circle Pad Pro for, like, for a second stick, will they automatically recognize and support the C-Stick? So, like, Andy, will you
Moon
be able
Chronicles
to jump in?
Will.
I think
I believe
so.
They do. Yeah.
I believe
do.
The idea is that the C-Stick essentially emulates the Circle Pad Pro.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And because it's also got the ZL and their...
I swore up and down they'd never release another a new piece of hardware that had that thing built in. I said I would eat my 3DS if they ever did.
Well,
it's a shame that the C-Stick exists now because last PAX East I bought a 3DS XL Circle Pad Pro.
Did you?
Wow.
And now there's no reason to have it.
No.
And I bought it, the tragedy is I bought it for Kid Icarus, forgetting that Kid Icarus doesn't really support it at all.
No, oh, yeah, unless
it's
you're
just a left hand mode,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm lefty, and it doesn't work for me.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah, it is. $30 down the drain.
I know for me, there's two. I'm excited, actually, speaking of it, I'm excited to kind of give Kid Icarus another shot.
Me too.
Especially now that it's part of the, like, Club Nintendo games. Because I bought it and then I eventually sold it back because I just didn't really, like, couldn't really get into it. But I really want to give it another shot, especially for, you know, that few coins. I'll just go ahead and download
it. It's very, I've been...
700 coins. It's the most expensive thing on the eShop.
Oh, wait, is it 700?
Yeah,
700. Yeah.
Oh, well... I don't know then, but I do want to go back to it, so maybe we'll see.
It's, I was just playing, you know, I played the Bayonetta 2 demo when it came out, and I've been playing Wonderful 101 now that I got it from Club Nintendo, and,
I did
all
too.
I can think is it's so, like, the closest thing Nintendo has done to a platinum game. Like, with the weird level, like, with the mission structure and everything, it's just, it's so similar to something that platinum would do.
Well, isn't, who's the developer, isn't it?
It was,
isn't it platinum?
No, it was Sora.
Grasshopper?
No, it's Sora, Sakurai's company.
So, oh, Sakurai. Oh, you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
It just reminds me so much of Beautiful Joe.
Yep. It's got that humor, yeah. It's, yeah, so that's a really good game to...
Pirate's Curse is gonna, support, I mean, it's gonna have new content for the XL.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Retro City Rampage is, getting an update sometime this month that will, take advantage. I think it's really just gonna, like, speed up load times and, like, that kind of, like, code optimization stuff. But the developer posted on Miiverse that he's upgrading Retro City Rampage DX for the new 3DS.
And then my second title has nothing to do with the 3D, but Theater Rhythm Curtain Call. I have not downloaded any of the DLC because I'm just, like, at this point, I, like, don't even want to touch my original 3DS. I just want to, like, move on to the new 3DS. Plus, I don't want to have to worry about, like, transferring shit. So, as soon as the new 3DS comes out, I'm going to buy all that Chrono Trigger DLC. And
nice.
I'm looking forward to Smash Brothers. I was playing Smash Brothers hardcore on the 3DS when it came out. I was surprised that I liked it that much, because then I realized, oh, but then I realized the way my life is right now, a portable version of Smash Brothers is actually perfect, because I can take it and play it at work, and I can take it and play it outside when I walk the dogs. I can, you know, it's just easy. Like, I would just leave it open, like, leave the game on and just shut the system and just pick it up and have it on the Smash menu ready to go.
Yeah, Zach and I talked about this last week, but I've put a lot of time into the Smash 3DS.
Yeah, it's really good, and I'm really, really looking forward to it with the, just for the improved load times alone.
Yeah. I was gonna say, now it won't take 10 minutes to start up anymore. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
any
it takes,
post-universe.
Yeah, it
won't take 30 seconds when you press the home button.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell it's like shutting down every possible background process just to run. Yeah.
Did you guys notice that when they added themes to the 3DS that, like, it killed the, like, main menu performance?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it went, they, like, completely overhauled the main menu, I think, when they released those themes. And, like, my 3DS just runs like a dog now. It's awful.
Yeah, my XL runs all right, but it definitely takes a long time to populate anything that's, like, on the SD card and not on the system's baked-in memory. It takes a little
takes
longer to populate
online.
It. So I'm look. I feels like something they did that because they were updating it from the new 3DS and they got it running good enough on the OG 3DS.
Yeah.
I want to play Luigi's Mansion again. Like I said earlier, I never finished it, and that game I thought looked stunningly good in 3D. It's one. I think it's maybe one of the best looking 3DS games, and I'm really, really looking forward to playing that one again.
Yeah, the multiplayer was really fun in that. My wife and I played a ton of the multiplayer. Oh, it's so good. You should definitely play it if you can get
Amanda
or someone to play with you.
No friends.
Amanda wouldn't play? She's not into it?
No, she only likes, like, life sim games.
Oh, okay.
And sim puzzle games and some action games, but not many.
Okay. Well, I'm, like, halfway through a replay of A Link Between Worlds on Hero Mode, and I kind of stalled on that for a little while, but I think I might go back to that when I get my new 3DS, just because I'm gonna be itching just to play anything on it because it's new hardware. So,
but you'll get Majora's Mask, won't you? You can play
I am gonna get Majora's Mask. Oh yeah,
I think I'm gonna wait on Majora's Mask, even though I'm getting the Majora's Mask XL.
That's a good point.
If I can find that XL in town, I'm gonna get it.
But yeah, I think I might wait a bit on Majora's Mask just because I've got other stuff to play right now.
Sure.
I'm getting it. I never gave Majora's Mask like a real earnest try when I was a kid. Coming off of Ocarina, I mean, I was probably. God, what year did Majora's Mask come out? Was that
98? 97 or 98?
That was 2000.
Wow.
It came out in 2000.
Yeah, didn't Ocarina come out in 98?
Yeah, that's, yeah, that sounds
right.
Oh,
Ocarina was 98.
It was
okay.
The dying gasp of the N64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I would have been like 14.
Oh my God.
So like the whole like managing the clock and like having to get stuff done at a certain time. I mean, I feel like I couldn't even get out of the start of the game without like getting killed by the moon. And I didn't have a player's guide.
I was like 17, and I tried to replay it on Wii Virtual Console.
Me too.
And I got
further. I could not do
it. I got further, but then I kind of petered out because something else came out, and I was like, eh. Yeah. So I'm a little apprehensive about even getting it, so I think I'm going to try and like maybe wait to get it when it's on sale, because I feel like there's like a good chance
it's a Nintendo game. It's not going on sale.
Yeah,
it's
true.
But what will go on sale are eShop cards.
Yeah, that's true.
eShop cards go on sale, every Nintendo game is on sale.
There you go.
That's how I got Bravely Default. Actually.
That's how I got
eShop
cards.
Well, you never know what sort of like rewards program they're going to come up with after Club Nintendo goes away.
Yeah, I got true. Tropical Freeze a week after launch for like $35 because eShop cards went on sale.
Nice.
I think Majora's Mask was like the first Nintendo game I ever pre-ordered. Like that was when I was like a sophomore in college.
You got to get that lenticular sticker on the cartridge.
Yeah, I don't have it anymore because I don't have anything that I ever had anymore. But but I'm looking forward to playing it. I actually did replay it on Virtual Console about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. God, it's been a long time. So I've played it somewhat recently, but I'm excited to go back to it. I was really
fond of Ocarina 3D. Like, I didn't think I got that game because I wanted something to play, and I didn't think I would finish it because I played it before and I've beaten it like two or three times. And I ended up playing and beating it again because it was that enjoyable to play in 3D with like the things like the gyro aiming was like a great addition to that game. So
it just looked a lot better.
I was really afraid when I went back to Majora on Virtual Console that I would like it would like not hold up to my fond memories, but it totally did. So.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to trying out Majora on the new 3DS because Grezzo did such a good job on Ocarina.
Yeah.
That I feel like I have to give him a shot.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll pretty much do it for this segment. Thanks for taking this little trip down memory lane with the original 3DS with us. I guess probably tune in like 2 weeks. Maybe we'll just get the same crew together to talk about how much we're loving our new 3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea.
That would be fun.
And still playing Macross 3D on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Only game that matters.
Picross 3D in 2D.
That's right.
Yeah.
They need to release Picross 3D on the eShop on the Wii U so I can play it through again.
They need to make another one.
On another system.
They need to make another damn Picross 3D. It's absurd. Come on. Come on.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy, Mike, and Zach for being here. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to this segment on Zelda Majora's Mask 3D. My name is Nicholas Bray and I'm joined by Curtis Bonds. Hello, Curtis.
Hey there.
Hey, how you going?
I could be a little better. I'm still getting over a sickness, but otherwise I'm good.
That's good, that's good. So how have you been enjoying Majora's Mask 3D?
I've been enjoying it quite a... excuse me. I have been enjoying it quite a bit.
That's good. So before we get into the newest version, I just wanted to get your thoughts on your original experiences with the game, like just to get some context. What are your feelings towards Majora's Mask in general?
Majora's Mask was a very special game, I should say. I first got it, I think it was for my birthday or Christmas, back, I want to say around 2000. That's probably when the game came out. I got it for Christmas from my sister, because I was a big N64 fan, and, you know, there was not really a whole lot to play, around that time. But, I was a, I was a fairly new Zelda fan as well. Like, I just started getting into all the Zelda games, and Majora's Mask was, like, on my radar quite a bit, so I was really excited to start playing that, and I was very confused, to say the least, when I first started playing the game, because, you know, I knew there's some sort of time mechanic to the game, but I wasn't really aware of I wasn't really aware of how restrictive, you know, a time limit could be. So it's just I ended up actually losing the game before I even got to before I even got my Ocarina back.
That happened to me as well. I think I died like 2 times. Because the beginning of the game is quite obtuse. Or it was for me back in the day.
Because back in those days, just like I didn't really have a whole lot of games. Like I was so just out of the loop when it came to game news and like, you know, new releases and just the whole kind of vast world of video games, because I just didn't know. Like, everything I knew was either everything I knew was either on the TV or what I saw in the video rental shop or on Nintendo.com. Like, I didn't bother, like, looking up any sort of, like, you know, expanded previews. I didn't even know sites like IGN existed or GameSpot, so I was just, yeah, so I just went into that game blind, and, yeah, I was not prepared for just how obscure this game could really be.
Yeah, I got the game around the same time as you, and, I ended up having to resorting to a guide for, like, a lot of the game, because it was just so, it seemed like, impenetrable to me.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was an option until, like, way later, because, like, after I had lost that part, after the moon had crashed into Termina, I had just not touched the game for several months after that.
Right,
I was just like,
yeah,
okay, I don't know if this game is for me. Then I decided, you know what, maybe I should give this game another shot, and that was around this... Oh, hold on, I'll silence my phone.
Zordon calling.
Yeah, I know. He really wants me to take care of that monster in the abandoned warehouse district, but I gotta talk about Zelda. Sorry, man. But yeah, that was, yeah, a few months down the line, I decided to give that game another shot, because that was around the time where I started discovering sites like IGN and GameFAQs and things like that. And, and after I, you know, started looking up walkthroughs and stuff like that, I got way more into the game and was able to fully complete it, like 100%, like, you know, get through all the dungeons, collect all the masks eventually. And yeah, after that, I was absolutely in love with the game.
Yeah, even playing it with a guide mostly, it doesn't, like, you know, you got a different experience, but it doesn't diminish sort of the investment in the world and the interactions that you still do and stuff. So
yeah, that probably is what got me interested in just like kind of gonzo, like bizarre storytelling. Like, you know, I was very straightforward as a kid, and even as an early teen, it's just like something has to be funny or just like happy. I wasn't really into anything that was like very serious. Like probably the most serious thing I was into at the time was probably friggin' Digimon. Cause that was a show that got me into, like, you know, character development and relationships between everybody. And, you know, there was just bizarre stuff going on in that show as well. But Majora's Mask was the one that kind of solidified, okay, I finally understand, like, abstract, weird types of storytelling and, you know, universes and things like that. And, you know, that was what I really loved. It was just, everything was just so strange and unfamiliar. It just, like, it was creepy. It was an unsettling game.
Had you played Ocarina before?
I had played Ocarina of Time, yeah.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
And, yeah, that was, I think, excuse me, I think Ocarina of Time was the first Zelda game that I actually gave a proper chance to. Like, I played A Link to the Past a little bit. I played the first two Zeldas a little bit. But at the time, excuse me, at the time, those kinds of games were just a little bit too complex for my simple gamer brain. But once I started really getting into it, I was hooked. I was hooked into Zelda, and, you know, I've been a lifelong fan ever since, you know, despite ups and downs of the franchise. And Majora's Mask was the game that pretty much made me a Zelda fan, like, for life.
Yeah, yeah, it basically solidified my fandom as well, because I'd only played Ocarina of Time previously, and only about a year and a half before, so like having a direct sequel to Ocarina in like a year after I played it or whatever was quite exciting. But anyway, let's jump forward and start talking about the remake. So what are your initial thoughts on some of the changes or the graphical upgrades and things like that?
You know, once I started the game, I was actually very surprised at just how beautiful the game looks. Like, you know, I was kind of impressed by Ocarina of Time, but the 3D remake of Ocarina of Time, but at the same time, I felt like, you know, it just felt, aside from, like, frame rate changes and Link's model, it just felt like an kind of a polished up version of the original Ocarina of Time on N64. But I don't know if maybe it's just how long it's been since I played the original Majora's Mask, but I feel like they've done way more in this version of the game to make it look like a current generation handheld game than they did with Ocarina of Time. Like, it looks absolutely phenomenal. Like, even as old as that game is, they still managed to make it look just so vibrant, so alive, and but at the same time, it doesn't lose any of that kind of mystery or just unsettling nature to it.
Well, that's good. Like, the tone is, like, different, but it's, you know, mainly intact still. Like,
yeah, the tone is totally the same. It just looks amazing.
The one area that I've, like, noticed in videos that is, like, has a quite of a shocking change to me was the just outside, like, in the swamp, the first area, you leave the field and mm-hmm. you go into the swamp area. Like, that's got, like, actual trees with geometry now and, like, bushes on the side instead of just the flat wall texture.
Yeah.
Like, that area looks a lot more lush and alive now.
Yeah, that's definitely the case for the entire game. Everything just looks more alive, just more physical, and not just some just weird flat texture. And it's just, that was, like, greatly appreciated that they just went so far above and beyond just simply just re-releasing the game on a handheld.
Mm. Now, I've been playing Ocarina of 3D the last couple of days a little bit, and I've actually noticed when there's a lot of stuff on the screen or whatever, it does drop in frame rate a little bit sometimes still. Have you noticed any frame rate drops in Majora's Mask with that? When you're breaking lots of pots or, you know,
not
stuff like that.
Very often. I, you know, I was actually playing, I was going through, one of the early temples, the Snowhead Temple, trying to find all the fairies that I missed. And, I had noticed when I was, Goron Link, there was like a path of giant snowballs that I was trying to punch through. And each snowball has like magic jars and hearts and stuff like in it. And, you know, doing that, just punching a bunch of snowballs and having stuff fall out, one after another, there was a little bit of lag, but it wasn't, you know, that was like the only point I ever really noticed any sort of like frame rate hiccup or anything like that.
Mm, that's good.
But that's like such a rare occurrence Like, there's no other point in the game where you have to punch through four giant snowballs and have items come out. So it's forgivable, but it's still just kind of weird.
It's just something I thought of, cause like, I'd played Ocarina of Time 3D like a few years ago and I didn't remember any jobs. And then I was noticing a few on this run through and I was like, oh, I wonder if like there's still a bit of hiccups here and there, but yeah, it's like, it's a minor thing. Next, we'll talk about the some of the gameplay changes. So one of the biggest changes would be like the Bomber's Notebook. It's been expanded and reworked a bit. So how does that work now? Where do you get it in the game, or
you still get it around the same time, I think, maybe a bit earlier. You know, like I said, I have not played the original Majora's Mask in quite some time, so some of my you're gonna have to do a lot of edit on this show. So a lot of changes are either really subtle or I just don't remember if it was in that place or not. But you get the Bomber's Notebook, and I feel like the Bomber's Notebook is a lot more in depth this time around.
I used to find it like not very helpful when I tried to use it. I didn't really get it too much, you know.
Yeah. So whenever you complete an important task, the Bomber's Notebook will actually pop up and kind of describe what you've done and give you kind of a hint as to what needs to be done next. Or, like, it'll still keep those notes in mind if you have to go back to the first day. So you can easily keep track of what you've done before and if you'd need to redo something. And, it's quite helpful, if not a bit kind of jarring, because I remember it not being that intrusive in the original game. I mean, some people...
Yeah, I remember you had to go physically check it, otherwise you wouldn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, in this game, it just pops up any time you do something of any sort of, any sort of significance to get, like, a certain mask, it's mostly just to keep track of how you get masks, or certain different accomplishments, side quests in general.
So you'd say the changes is much more useful this time around?
Like, yeah, it's way more useful. Personally, I don't mind that it pops up, because it just saves me the trouble of having to look up a GameFAQs walkthrough.
Yeah. I sort of understand some people being like, oh no, they're changing the game, making it easier, but I still feel that Majora's Mask was so sort of obtuse in a way.
Yeah.
It did need it.
Yeah, it's... like, I probably would not have had any issues with the game when I first played it had, you know, the Bomber's Notebook come up like it does in the 3DS version. But, I eventually became knowledgeable enough to look up walkthroughs and, you know, it didn't become a problem, but... I feel like this is a good thing for people that always wanted to experience the game but were put off by how restrictive the time could be and were just, like, left out in the cold of what to do. But I do kind of... excuse me. Jeez, I am so sorry. I do kind of feel like it should have been an option. Like, maybe just leave it on by default, but give the player an option to just turn it off.
Turn off notifications or whatever.
Yeah. Like, you know, just have it fill out, when you complete certain tasks. But yeah, it might have been better if they just gave people the option. I mean, I personally don't mind it, but the option would have been nice.
Yep. That would sort of lead into the other big change would be the saving structure now. You can just save whenever you feel like. Have you felt that that's changed the way you've played the game at all?
That's not particularly true. You can't save anywhere you want, but there are more...
Oh, sorry, wherever there's a statue. Yeah.
Yeah, there are more frequent statues to save at. And, you know, I don't mind that. I mean, it's a portable game, and any way of giving me more options to save is a welcome change. Like, if, like, because I was playing this mostly when I've been out and about these past couple weeks, and, yeah, being able to save more frequently, did not hinder my enjoyment at all, because, like, you know, I could just be putting the game down, to, you know, transfer to another train or bus or something, or to be waiting in line or something that have to go in somewhere, and, sometimes the battery would be on its way out because I'm playing it so much and doing Street Pass and all that stuff. So having save statues more strewn about was extremely helpful in that case, and I think that was a good decision that they made.
Mm. Even because, like, the complaints are sort of like, you used to play the Song of Time, and so you had to sort of make that conscious decision. Oh, have I done everything right so I can save the game and reset the time, you know? But I sort of agree with you. Like, now that it's a portable game, it's a bit, you know, it needs to be a bit more lenient on, you know, portable players saving it to make sure that, you know, the battery doesn't die. So whereabouts are you into the game now? Like, how far are you through it?
I'm almost done with it. I've been kind of in a weird kind of situation with the game, but I'm almost done with it. I'm almost finishing the fourth temple. But yeah, so one of the other changes that I was going to mention was that they added the same stone that was in Ocarina of Time 3D, that was in the Temple of Time, where you would just crawl into it and you would kind of get a vision of where you needed to go next, or what you needed to do next, in case you were kind of lost. So they have the stone within the clock tower, where you first meet the Happy Mask Salesman, and right off the bat, I think that's one of the better places to have that, because in Ocarina of Time, you couldn't really get to that stone very easily unless you were Adult Link, because when you start the game in Ocarina of Time, when you're still a young Link, you have to start at your house in Gorkiri Village, and you have to travel all the way to the Temple of Time to crawl into that stone.
I think there may have been one in the village as well, but...
I don't remember there
next to
one.
His house, maybe?
Hmm, I don't know.
I'm not sure if that was just a regular gossip stone or not, I can't remember.
I don't quite remember either, but I just only... I only remember it being in the Temple of Time, but... right off the bat, it's... it's a very welcome change to have it within the clock tower, because it's such a central location in the game. Like, it's not just kind of shoved off somewhere like the Temple of Time. Because, you know, like I was saying earlier, how convenient it was to have more frequent save spots in Majora's Mask 3D, it's actually more convenient to have that Gossip Stone in this game because of how obtuse the game can be at times, and sometimes if you just are just playing it on the go, then you have to shut it off for... you know, a few hours to go and do something else. It's always been kind of hard to remember where you were or what you were doing, because you have your mind focused on so many other things. But, now that this, special gossip stone is in the clock tower, I can easily just get there by, you know, playing the song. I could just crawl in there, and it gives you a plethora of options, in terms of what you can find. Like, it has, like, the general walkthroughs of, you know, each temple and each area that you go to, and it was very, very, very helpful. There's also an option to look up the Great Fairy piece locations, like the Great Fairy gets split up in each dungeon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it'll tell you, like, you know, kind of give you hints of where to find those. And it also gives you hints on where to find the heart pieces, all the heart pieces in the game.
Oh, okay, that's good. Because so, this game has the most heart pieces of any Zelda game. I think it's, like, what, 40-something?
Yeah, there's quite a lot to find since there's, you know, so few
less bosses, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really helpful because, you know, like I said, it's tough to keep track of where you are when you have to, you know, go and do so many things, like, in actual real life. And I feel like that's going to help a lot of people who were, who felt lost in the original game. You know, like the Bomber's Notebook, this is something that I feel will make the game more appealing to people who just gave up. And people that don't have, like, just an instant access to, like, a walkthrough or whatever. Even though most people do with, like, smartphones and stuff like that, but it's still, excuse me, it's still very nice to just have that within the game.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it helped me quite a bit, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's good, that's good. We'll just finish up with a couple of other little more minor things. Like, I've got a question about the Arcana well with the re-deads, the trading sequence in there. You had to bring them, like, you know, 5 beans and a bucket or something, you know, like, and beforehand you had to go to the re-deads or the gibbos or whatever, and they'll tell you what they want, and then you'd have to go get it. And you come back and there's another one. You got to find out what he wants. You got to go out inside and go get it or whatever. Has that been, like, changed at all?
You know what? Like I said, it has been so long since I've played the original game that if there has been a change, I haven't really noticed. Like, there are some things in Majora's Mask that have stuck out to me more than others, and that part wasn't something that I fondly remember. So, if there were any changes, it was probably for the better because I didn't.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's like they've included more of the requirements inside the well or whatever.
But I think, yeah, I think so. Yeah, like I said, it's hard to really talk about any specific changes because, yeah, I just.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Fine.
I just
that's
don't remember from the original game.
What did you think of the boss fights? Because I know they've been tweaked a bit and updated a little bit.
The boss fights are definitely felt a little easier. I remember as a kid when I was originally playing this game, I had a lot of difficulty with the bosses. And, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm just better at games now, but, excuse me, maybe it's just I'm better at games now, but, no, it actually is kind of easier, specifically the Snowhead boss. It was kind of difficult, I remember, in the original game, because you had such limited control over the camera, and this is actually where playing on the new 3DS came in handy, because I have a little C-stick above the buttons. It was easier to actually maneuver the camera around that whole track, I guess you would call it.
Well, I think it's like a circular
track.
Yeah,
it's like a circular track. And it was kind of, I remember it being kind of difficulty in the original game because it was hard to keep track of where you were going because it wasn't always perfectly aligned of where you would be kind of rolling around. But with the C-stick, I could easily just, like, keep kind of tilting the camera to the left or to the right to kind of keep myself going forward and hitting all the necessary ramps and things like that. And, yeah, I actually think, yeah, they're a little easier, I would say.
Because I know they added those, like, graphical enhancements, like the eyes poking out and, like, they've got that thing going on now.
Yeah, they all have a kind of an eye, like a giant, like kind of reddish yellow eye as a weak point. So I guess that's a little more apparent, because yeah, that was something I didn't really. That was something I was kind of surprised by myself, because I was fighting these bosses, like I don't remember them having a giant eye. Like, what the hell's going on?
Because it's meant to be like a reference to the Majora's Mask eye, I think, from the mask and stuff. But
yeah, so yeah, that's definitely something that's actually probably why I think they're easier. Like, now that I think about it, because yeah, I don't remember that eye in the original. Okay, yeah.
Well, that's cool about the C stick camera coming in handy. That's actually, I wish they would patch Ocarina to add that in now.
That would be nice, but I feel like that game has just come and gone for Nintendo.
I know, but it'd be such a like quick patch to throw out there. Just give us some camera control.
Maybe. I would have to wonder how quick a patch that would be. Cause that was before 3DS games even had the ability to be patched.
I know. I assume it would probably, take them a bit, but like, it's just the camera.
Yeah, so they would probably have to do some work to that, cause that was like, I want to say that was actually planned to be a launch title, but I mean, it didn't come out until May, but I feel like that was like, their quote launch window, that term they like to throw around quite a lot. So yeah, I wouldn't really expect them to go back to Ocarina of Time.
No, I don't expect it, but it'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice to have dual stick controls in Kid Icarus Uprising 2, but that's never going to happen because of Nintendo.
Okay, so we'll wrap this up now. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention or add from your time playing the new version?
Let's see. I want to say... Oh, yeah, they... Another kind of convenient... Another convenient change that they made was the map. I want to give compliments to, like, the whole map and touchscreen interface that they added to the game, which is, similar to Ocarina of Time 3D. There were so many times in the original Majora's Mask where I would just get lost in Clock Town, of all places. Because sometimes it could be very disorienting of where...
I know, like, sometimes you're not sure which exit to take.
Yeah, like, sometimes I think I'm going to, like, the north part of town when I'm actually going to, like, East Clock Town, and it's just like, wait, this isn't where I'm supposed to go. And, they display the entire map on the touchscreen, like the entire map of Clock Town, so I'm never confused as to where to go, which made that first part of the game where you're a Deku scrub, and it made it much, much easier to get through that part of the game and just navigate the world in general, and that was a very welcome change. The touchscreen stuff is, awesome, because I can, equip an extra item to different touchscreen slots and, have just their dedicated Ocarina button and dedicated mask buttons and gear and stuff like that. It's just every little thing about what they did to make this a portable game, I feel like, I feel like was a very good choice on their behalf. I mean, there are a lot of purists who feel like a lot of these changes kind of ruin the experience, but you know what? I feel like for a portable game, I feel like it should be a little more excusable because people don't really play portable games in the same way that they do console games. Like, if they did like an HD remake of Majora's Mask on the Wii U, maybe I would see some of these changes as kind of weird, but I'm playing this on the go, and any sort of change they could make it a more streamlined and pleasant experience to play on the go, I'm all for. And they went above and beyond, in my opinion, with everything that they've added to just make it more convenient to play, make it more sensical to play, and just and just more fun to play, really.
Well, that's good. Yeah, like you were saying, having it as a portable game requires some degree of thinking about the user experience. Like, just, you know, people can't play a 3-hour chunk without saving these
exactly,
days, you know?
Yeah.
But, okay, well, that'll probably do it. Thanks, Curtis, for joining me on this segment.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was quite a pleasure, even though I was coughing into your ears most of the time.
That's all right. Okay, bye, everyone, I guess. Bye.
Bye.
Alright everyone, that will do it for episode 167 of Connectivity. As always, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. I'll be sure to rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't done that yet, and follow all of us on Twitter. Go to nintendoworldreport.com and look for the Twitter sidebar on the right-hand side of the page to find all of our usernames there. We will see you next week.